And so, you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatchers from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. To be fully transparent, the majority of the show was not recorded in New York City, although I am in New York City right now recording the rest of this podcast that you are now listening to. The majority of this podcast was recorded, I think, in Little Rock, Arkansas, after a show where Cop Out, my band Cop Out, was playing with Days and Days and Leftover Crack. That show is over, that tour is over, and as has become our little tradition here on Dispatchers from the Underground, after these tours, we did a little tour wrap-up with Days and Days this time. We talked a bunch of shit, we talked a bunch of stories and tour, but before we get into this particular episode, I want to talk a little bit about what this show is in general. This is Dispatchers from the Underground. For those of you who've never heard it before, we have two main objectives. One, we want to find the best voices in the underground, the people who are making the most incredible art, the most passionate music, who are doing the best underground activist movement stuff. We want to find all of those voices. We want to put a microphone in front of them. We want to pick their brains. We want to understand where their passion comes from, where their fire comes from, where their ideas want to take us, where their music wants to carry us away to. We want to just get a better sense of what they're all about. That's the first half of the show. We want to find those voices. We want to understand them better. The second half of the show, we want to do the opposite. We want to have those voices that we're talking to engage the mainstream, the mainstream that has sort of pushed them and us all out of it. And it still has a huge impact on our lives. We want to engage it while we are being ignored down in the underground. While some of the best voices, the most passionate, thoughtful, creative voices are being ignored by the mainstream, we want to acknowledge that mainstream is out there and it's affecting a lot of people. We want to pick at it. We want to punch back at it. We want to understand it. We want to get the perspective of the people who are coming to the show, not only on the underground stuff, but also on the mainstream stuff. We don't want to ignore the fact that mainstream has an impact on us. We just want to make sure that we are being conscious about it. We're being critical about it. And we want to talk to these incredible voices, these incredible minds, these incredible hearts, and get some perspective on that mainstream bullshit that sort of eats us alive every day. And hopefully through all that, they get uplifted, we get uplifted, we all just sort of uplift each other enough to eventually tear down this fucking mainstream bullshit and replace it with all of our incredible passion-filled underground art, which is hopefully what the outcome of all the things that we're doing are, not only this podcast, but all these musicians. Anyway, that's the goal of this podcast, Dispatch with the Underground. However, we deviate a little bit from that here and there on the episode. And on this particular episode, we're going to be spending it talking to an incredible band, Days and Days, from Houston, Texas. They're a band unlike anybody else. They're really carving their own space in the world of music. We're going to be playing some Days and Days on the show, so you're going to be able to hear it. But I strongly encourage everybody to go listen to their Bandcamp. They're an incredible band. It's Days and Days, spelled D-A-Y-S space N space Days, D-A-Z-E, Days and Days. Because this band is exactly what we're talking about here on Dispatch from the Underground. They're passionate, they're heartfelt, they're so critical, their lyrics are so thoughtful, they're moving. I think they're the only band lyrics that I actually have tattooed on my body because I think they're so insightful and so moving. I love them very much, not only as musicians, but I'm so lucky to have had a chance to not only play with them and get to know them, become good friends with them, but also have a chance to interview them on this podcast about the things that I'm curious about. And I think a lot of the people who are fans of theirs are curious about too. So Jesse, Whitney, Jeff, and Megan are all on the podcast today. You also are going to hear Sturgeon, the singer from Leftover Crack and Choking Victim and many other incredible things. He's actually hanging out with us in the room while we recorded this, and he's in the background mostly talking shit about me, but he does some other things too. So you might hear his voice in there. I think Izzy was also in the room, Jeff's partner, if I'm not mistaken. So you may hear Izzy as well in the background. Anyway, we're going to be talking about this tour, this Cracktoberfest. It's been a little bit of a tumultuous Cracktoberfest. It's been a little bit of a tough one. There's been a lot of ups and also a lot of downs, a lot of hospital visits. And there's a few shows that Jesse had to miss. One of the singers from Days and Days had to miss, and they had to play without him. And it was a little bit of a challenge. So we're going to be talking about what exactly happened on this tour, what were some of the problems, what were some of the hiccups, what were some of the great things that happened. We're going to be talking about all that. You're going to get a full scoop of exactly what went down with all the shit. Days and Days is incredibly transparent. They don't bullshit. They say straight up all the time what's going on. In fact, actually, much to their chagrin, they're very honest and very upfront about the trials and tribulations and things that they've had to go through. It's impressive to see a band that I know personally who just lays it all out there. I think that's part of their charm. But I know it also takes a big toll on them because they're always just all laying it out for everyone to know. And it's taxing to sort of just be so transparent to people who sometimes care and sometimes fans don't care. They just want the music. And so I think it can be tough on them. But that being said, they are who they are, and they are here on the podcast today to talk about exactly what happened on the tour. There's been some miscommunication online, a bunch of shit posting online, and one of the reasons that I wanted to do this podcast was to fucking clear all of that shit up. So partially I want to promote Days and Days because I think they're incredible, but also I want to just clear up all the bullshit. I feel like after you listen to this show, everything else is clear and everything else will be cleared up, and hopefully we can just move on with our lives or lack thereof in this realm. Anyway, that's going to be the first part of the show. We're going to be clearing up all of the miscommunication from tour, explaining all those things that happened, the great things and the horrible things and the health issues that have happened on this tour. We're going to clear all that Cracktoberfest 2019. We're going to clear all that shit up. We're going to talk some shit about Leftover Crack. We're going to talk some shit about Days and Days. We're going to talk some shit about my band Cop Out. All three bands on this bill, on this Cracktoberfest, are really good friends. I think maybe some people hate me a little bit more by the end of this tour, but whatever. It was bound to happen. But most of the people on this tour are very, very good friends, and we're going to talk a ton of shit. It'll be fun to listen to, and I think it'll be good for us all to just have some closure on some of these issues. So that's going to be the first half of the episode. The second half of the episode, I'm going to be talking to the band about the history, because I've done a bunch of interviews with Days and Days in the past, but I've never heard a succinct account of exactly how it started and how it ended up being what it is today. So I want to go back to the beginning. I want to go back to Jesse and Whitney sitting in a basement somewhere, breaking it down and coming up with these magical tunes that we all love, that I love very deeply. So we're going to talk a little bit about that on the second half of the podcast, and maybe we'll get a little bit more about where they're headed in the very near future. I know they're working on some new music right now, so hopefully we will get to that as well. So first half, we're going to be clearing up some shit that happened on tour. We're going to be talking some more shit about things that happened on tour. We're going to be doing all the shit posting business. We're going to deal with that on the first half. In the second half, we're just going to run through the history. What's up with Days and Days? How do they get to where they are? And where the fuck are they going as we approach the final form of Days and Days? Where are they going? What's going on? What's the future hold for Days and Days? What can we look forward to? So that's what we're going to be talking about in this podcast. Let's get to the fucking show. Here is Days and Days from Houston, Texas. Get down. Let's listen to a tune before we get to the rest of the episode. For folks who have never heard Days and Days before, I want to play a tune real quick. This is one of my favorite songs, a song that I have now tried to cover twice in my existence and failed miserably both times. Here is a song by Days and Days called Goodbye Lulu. I actually also think this is Sturgeon's least favorite song, so I'm playing it with dual purpose. One, because I love it. Two, because he hates it. So here is Goodbye Lulu by Days and Days. Get down.
Goodbye, Lulu. Won't be stole your package, boots and bibs, and left you on the tracks. Goodbye, Lulu, won't be seeing you again. You left him on a freight train, you ain't never going back. Started hanging out at punk shows and you got it in your head to leave him on a freight train, cause that's what the cool kids did. Now you got some shitty sticking folks and hepatitis C. Smell like an unwiped asshole and your socks stick to your feet. Goodbye, Lulu, won't be seeing you again. Stole your packing boots and bibs and left you on the tracks. Goodbye, Lulu, won't be seeing you again. You left home on a freight train, you ain't never going back. Woo! For breakfast and you're shooting up at lunch. All cupped up in a Walmart screaming, I don't give a fuck! Your dog is fucking starving, but you spend a bill on food. Your parents bought you Nikes, you prefer some tattered boots. Goodbye, Lulu, won't be seeing you again. Stole your packing boots and bibs and left you on the tracks. Goodbye, Lulu, won't be seeing you again. You left home on a freight train, you ain't never going back. Woo! Just as good. Fuck a restaurant, there's a dumpster. Let's see what you can fly inside. It's like Christmas every day, except the gifts are filled with blood. Goodbye, Lulu, won't be seeing you again. Stole your bag and boots and bibs and left you on the tracks. Goodbye, Lulu, won't be seeing you again. You left home on a freight train, you ain't never going back. Goodbye, Lulu, won't be seeing you again. Stole your bag and boots and bibs and left you on the tracks. Goodbye, Lulu, won't be seeing you again. You left home on a freight train, you ain't never going back.
All right, we are sitting here in
downtown Little Rock.
Little, oh my God, we're in Little Rock, yeah. Arkansas. Awesome, the homeland of all punk. Doing this interview. I'm sitting here in a hotel room with the Days and Days.
Ew.
What's up?
What's up?
Let's do a microphone check. Here's Jesse.
Hey, how's it going?
This is NyQuil Jordan.
That's Jeff.
Hey, this is Whitney Flynn.
Hey, I'm Megan.
And we're sitting here, it's like 4 in the morning after our show that we played in Little Rock, which went off without a hitch. And
that was great.
We're blackout right now.
Yeah, we're all blackout drunk. Yeah, we're all slamming fucking tequilas, dude. That's not true, yeah. I've been doing a bunch of other drugs, not drinking, though.
That's why you call it the Little Rock, right?
Oh, yeah, we've been doing Big Rocks all night, we fucked up. the tour is basically over. We have one more show left tomorrow in
New Orleans.
Who cares? Somewhere else. Not Little Rock. It's never going to be Little Rock to us. And tour has been a tough tour. Would you say this has been the toughest tour, or am I putting words in your mouth?
No, I think this has been like a really awesome tour. I mean, but we're coming from a place where we're kind of used to the shit show, I guess.
Half of this tour was fucking rough, and then half of it was super smooth. It's been a weird one.
It's been
for real.
Yeah. Okay. So actually, the first half was a little rough.
Right, yeah,
Let's break it down. Let's start in the beginning or whatever the fuck. Wherever I can't you even. Start.
I honestly don't remember the first half. I don't remember up to Detroit. I think.
Whitney's face. Detroit.
Well, no. Okay. But we were too. We did shows.
Canada. Yeah, Canada. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
really remember. Very much of that.
Yeah, I got you covered.
That was dope. I love Crazy in the Brains.
Yeah, we did a first week in Canada with Crazy in the Brains, and it was awesome. It was so much fun. It was massively cold. This was so long ago that I just remember that it was good.
From the Facebook comment feedback stuff, it seems like the shows were people enjoyed them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just living vicariously through the Days and Days Facebook page.
Do you want to go ahead? I think this is the first interview where both me and Jesse are completely sober.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So we're both like just staring at each other.
The last podcast we did with you, and then listen to this one.
No,
because it's probably just nonsensical rambling.
This is my fourth time on this podcast, and my first.
The
time
only
sober
time I really truly remember was with Leftover Crack in Virginia Beach?
No, that's Miami.
Miami?
We did
Miami.
Two in Miami.
Miami Beach.
Yeah.
No pancreatitis.
That's why I had the
Yeah. Me and...
I knew we were making fun of you because of something that wasn't your fault.
Me and Sturgeon did another interview.
Yeah, in Miami Beach again, yeah.
Yeah.
We remember these interviews, but we don't remember what happened on tour. Okay, let's flash forward. Let's fast forward to the beginning of the Trouble Zone. So, probably a couple days into the U.S. portion of the tour, Left Over Crack and Cop Out. The Canadian stuff went off without a hitch, but like two 3 days. So we did
Detroit,
Chicago, and those were fine, right? You were feeling okay. You had a little.
I
bit
was all right.
Yeah,
I guess. And then when was the was Chicago on Halloween? What was Halloween?
No, that was Omaha, I think.
So Omaha.
Yeah, so we did. I think Chicago, then Omaha.
Like, oh, it was like Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma
yeah,
City.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was gonna be Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah, that was like the fourth,
I remember Halloween.
Show. Yeah,
and then I think I had to dip out. Was it Cincinnati? Is that when I had? That's when I left.
Yeah, Cincinnati was the first day you weren't at the show.
Spent like 4 days in the hospital.
There was Kansas City, but you played Kansas City, I think.
Something. The timeline is fuzzy for me.
Was Jesse
obviously
at Kansas City? Yeah, I think so. But Cincinnati, you weren't at the show. What happened, Jesse?
They told me that enzymes in my liver were too high, I guess, so it wasn't functioning properly and like leaking toxins into my blood. Which, when washed through over my brain, kind of was causing like a weird personality shift and like a minor psychosis or something.
Oh,
so
wow.
I just lose my fucking mind because my body didn't want to do its job because I was being a fucking asshole to it.
Wow.
So then 4 days, and I don't know, no one's told me how those shows went, but from what I've heard again through like the social media pages, seems like these three held it the fuck down.
Held down. We're going to talk about Cincinnati in a second. But before, so you're good now. Like,
I'm
you're okay
fucking
now.
Super good.
You're good. I know people have been paying attention to your Facebook posts. They know that you're not drinking and that you're working through, you know, the positives and ups and downs of that.
Right? 21 days today, I think. So 3 weeks. It's weird.
Before this tour, I was sober for 3 months. And then on this tour, this has been very stressful. I took on the role of tour managing our band, and I had to head the band playing the guitar for a few shows, for like 4 shows, which I was really worried about Jesse and making sure that everyone was okay and satisfied and like with the whole thing. But I haven't been getting too wasted and been holding things together.
This is the best I've seen you on any tour, I think.
Yeah. I know. It was very warranted. Yeah. It was, I kept it together long enough and then I just cried for like 8 hours. Yeah. Like
Sometimes
my eyes were completely like puffy shut for like a day straight. But considering I am like a super hyper emotional, like dramatic as fuck person, one freak out is pretty damn good. And I have been for
record
over a
books
month. Yeah, that's pretty good. And with mildly drinking and keeping it together, I'm like giving myself high fives.
Hell
yay.
Yeah. Pat yourself
you,
on
Joey
the back.
Despite all the problems, the only one of the permanent injury on this tour was the sober guy who punched a fucking immovable object and broke his fucking hand. So there you go. There's straight
that's
edge.
That's how it goes.
I was also, I broke my ankle 4 months ago, so, or 5 months ago now, and was definitely rocking a cane. Not the cocaine, but a cane.
Yeah. That's the better of the two evils, right?
Yeah, it was pretty sick.
A crutch nonetheless, but not the hard one. So you're good now, you're feeling good. The band definitely, I mean, there's three folks in the band who are just totally, there's Jeff Bell, who's like a train wreck on kite or whatever. yo, there's a microphone over here. So if you need a microphone, you got to get it. You got to wrench it out of one of our hands. Yeah, but seriously, though.
Yeah, defend yourself. Hold on. How am I the shit show?
Yeah.
Let's talk to Jeff.
Jeff, you're the mascot.
Wow. The only one still taking a dump in a dumpster is Jeff fucking Bell.
Well, I just did wake up from a margarita nap, so.
No, but the band is good. Things are going well. Despite the horrible medical problems that you had on this tour, you're feeling fucking good, Jesse. Megan, you're feeling good. I know there's been problems in the past. You're feeling okay?
Yeah, I've been doing good.
Oh, yeah.
I've been staying clean.
All tour.
Off booze. It's been nice.
We have been killing
Eating
Dr.
Well.
Peppers like no one's business, you and I.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand. Yeah,
What?
Just, are healthy honestly, and sober right now. It's crazy.
No, right? Two, three, we're actually like, doing really well. It's not normal.
Can I just say, I've toured with y'all a few times. If y'all had not kept such a level head on every front, like the problems that have arisen would have just spiraled so far out of control. They would have been unmanageable.
We
would
have broken up a dozen bands so far.
We could have ended
everything.
Fucking...
I'll say this.
So many bands.
Sturgeon's sitting over here too next to us. I'll say this, and our friend Izzy's over here too. I'll say this. If it had been more difficult, I'm pretty sure I would have killed Alec Bailey. I'm pretty sure.
Died without you killing him.
I think it's one of us. One of us would not have made it. So Brad Logan might have killed me. Alec Bailey might be dead. All right. So people are leveled out. Things are going pretty good. Since those, what was it, four shows?
Yeah, I think so.
Everything's gone fucking beautifully, except for the fact yesterday the van broke down. There was no way to get through that. There's nothing, you know.
Yeah.
There's nothing
best.
To do. Yeah, there's...
Genuinely.
We did our best.
Yeah. Oh my God, I want to see those covers so bad.
I mean, the second one that we practiced, yesterday we were playing in Lexington, Kentucky, and Days and Days van broke down far away, and there was just no way that they could make it to the show. So we covered, Cop Out covered Goodbye Lulu and did a horrible job at it. We never...
Fred said it sounded like everybody was playing a different song.
I mean, everyone might have been playing them. Like two of the people had never heard the song before we played it. Not me, but other people in the band. And then... We played Postpartum Depression, and that sounded really good. I thought.
I directed it musically.
Oh, wow. Yes. Everyone, thank you. Just.
Sturgeon.
Yeah. This is why we don't give Sturgeon a microphone over here. So.
That sounds but great.
The four shows, I'll say this. The four shows, I know there were some people complaining about those four shows, but I will say this. Megan and Jeff and Whitney fucking did everything within their fucking power to make those shows happen. Like anything that was humanly possible that could have been done was done for those shows. And it was really, really scary because Jesse was in the hospital and there was this like terrifying thing happening. And like, you know, I know it was fucking horrifying. You want to hear, Whitney, you want to say something about
it? I can't hear you.
I was just saying there was this terrifying thing happening to, you know, the closest person in the world, Jesse, and like it was really scary, and Whitney just like got this shit fucking done. It was impressive. It was impressive. I know people might be upset about it given the situation.
It's sad. It's like the depressing, sad part of our band with just slow as fuck being like, hey, let me talk about stuff that we don't really talk about when you're partying.
Songs, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But, you can party. You can party sad.
I mean,
you can sad
did,
party.
They were crowd surfing and shit to like Blue Jays. How?
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, like,
I will say for the record, you know, everything was amazing. The only criticism, Whitney, that I'm is bringing that fucking nerd up to play guitar on that one song.
Oh, that was so bad.
He asked me before. He was like, "I can do this. I can do this." And I was like, "He was like, it would mean a lot to me. Like, he was like so stoked." And I was like, "Okay, cool." And then he gets up there. And he's like, brum, brum, brum. And he tried his best, but it did give me more confidence in myself and my guitar playing because I was like, I can do this
good
better.
Good on you for letting him give it a shot.
And it was awesome. No, it was.
Shout out to the truck guy in Cincinnati for fucking holding it down.
Yeah, thank you.
Couldn't. I'm glad. But also, no thanks again.
No, it was great.
Next time we're there, we can play it together, and he can do like lead guitar, and I'll do rhythm.
Oh yeah, no, he can't do it again. That guy was the worst. He was the absolute worst. I hope you listen to this fucking podcast, and I hope you fucking message me because you're the fucking worst. The only thing worse than you was the other guy who had a choke slam off the stage during the fucking show.
Oh, Jesus, I still need Christ. To find that video. Oh my God, it's so perfect. It's just Joey. It's like 10 seconds long, and Joey comes into frame and shoves this guy off the stage, and the guy goes, like, flies out. And a picture.
What was happening at this goddamn Cincinnati show?
Cincinnati
just
went
all
hard.
Fucking crazy.
It was crazy. It was so much fun.
The only thing you missed, Jesse, is that was the most oogliest oogle ever who've ever oogled.
Okay.
Like, the guy was the oogliest, dude. He just, like, he was so fucked up on PCP, and he just would not fucking let go. And the entire show, he's being a douche. And I kept going up to him, like, yo, you've got to get the fuck out of here. And he kept getting up on stage. I'm like, okay. It was awesome. Cool. Anyway.
Strikes you out type shit.
Yeah, it was, like, from baseball. It was basically played baseball. So, things are good. The shows have been killer.
It's been awesome. It's been weird learning how to play not drunk.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever done this, is on this tour. It's terrifying because there's Leftover Crack and there's a billion people, all these goddamn shows.
Yeah, like that after that first, like the first night of this tour in Canada, I played completely sober, and that was my second show ever playing sober. And I have a hard time like speaking when I'm not like
intoxicated. This is hard right now.
I know. I'm trying my best not to like completely stutter and like just make these awkward pauses and be like, what are you about to say?
Remember the words.
You know, I'm like, how do you dance again?
It's a podcast.
You just wag your finger.
These hand motions aren't helping.
Playing the trumpet. Boop, doop, doop, doop. Yeah. That was me playing the trumpet.
Yeah. See? Exactly. Nah. Funny for us, not for who's
not
listening.
For everybody else.
Yo, fuck this audience. Honestly, no one gives a shit. Fuck these people. No, but people have been, you've been posting online, and I think, you know, as a sober person reading that, I've been encouraged to read it because I know you've been struggling with this stuff, and I know Whitney has been fighting hard to maintain, and I think it's been really helpful for a lot of people to see that. So I'm appreciative of it. Yes, Sturgeon, again, not what we gave you, did not give you a microphone. Well, we're just talking about how hard it is to do this fucking thing sober, and everyone now it's like the sober guy stutters, and it's like, oh, fuck you, Joe, you piece of shit. Where's the sympathy?
I think it is also being like respectful to people, because people will come up to me and be like, I thought you stayed sober. I thought you were sober. I just saw you drink. And I'm like, excuse me. I'm living my own life. I'm trying to live my best life. You know, there is like, everyone has their own sober. And whether that's smoking weed or not smoking cigarettes or like whatever. Whatever. I mean, whatever, like you need to like maintain a healthy and productive and fulfilling life, and without like hurting other people and without hurting yourself, you know?
Everyone knows the crutches that'll do them in, the crutches they can handle.
But I mean, as far as sobriety goes, it makes me really depressed.
Megan is skeptical about that one.
What, Megan, what?
That's all I was saying, was what takes a while for some people to figure that out.
It does. It took me 28 fucking years. But
what, you know, when we first started playing together, Jesse, I asked you, like, how do you keep your voice so golden every night? You remember what you said? This is in Pittsburgh. Remember this?
I probably said I slammed vodka or something.
Yeah, you said I got so drunk I can't. I don't have no idea what I do.
Yeah. But how was actually a problem when the first show was in Baltimore, right, that I got back on the tour. And, like, my voice felt so fucking weird because I'm so used to my throat being relaxed because I'm just hammered drunk.
Yeah.
That, like, I was trying to get the words out, and I was, like, choking on my fucking own lyrics. Well, and that, too.
Yeah, because, and, you know, I've had folks say that in the past, too, like, that being able to drink and relax is helpful to vocalists to do that.
But chamomile tea does the same fucking thing, really.
And your voice has never sounded better. The performances have never been better, as far as I'm concerned. As someone who's seen you all play 1,000 times, your voice has not sounded a beat off. And the performances have been incredible.
I've never heard Jesse's voice be off, anyways.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Wow.
It's actually a little annoying.
Bless
you. I noticed the show where your brain was being poisoned and your motor skills on your tongue, but I barely noticed it. And it's only because, like, Jeff's like, did you notice? And I was like, I guess that you mentioned it. Yeah, it was like a little weird. And then you disappeared and I didn't even know that you were off the tour. And, like, and when he's like, Jesse's in the hospital, I was like, he's not here.
Yeah, like, both of y'all, I'm just going to say this. Jesse and Sturgeon are very close to my heart. I love them both so much. And y'all both decided to just explode the same fucking week. Yeah. And I'm sitting there trying to manage the band, driving with with like a cane and with bronchitis and trying to not get blackout while performing. And I was just like, you know, that's great. You guys take the day off.
It was
take
Destroy
a couple
Yourself
days off.
Tuesday.
That's fine.
We had to do
I got it.
It
covered. There was one morning.
Two for
I just,
one
like,
hospital visits. You couldn't pass that deal up.
I like opened my eyes and I was just like, I don't want to do it. I was just like, I don't want to do it. Okay, and then everyone was like, Whitney, come on. We're already in the van. I was like, God damn it.
Pacifying colors.
Yeah.
And now it's been fucking chill. We went through that horrible shit to come out stronger on the other side. That sounds fucking cheesy, but it's true.
No, I think that's 100% true. And so you're feeling good about performing sober now? Like, you're like,
fuck yeah.
I know
it's been so much nicer because I can actually listen to what everyone's fucking doing and like kind of work with the washboard and the gut bucket and the trumpet and Whitney's voice instead of just playing the guitar and hoping that everyone else is playing with me. And then I can actually remember the fucking shows now, which is great.
In a lack of better words, I mean, Jesse hasn't complained or looked at me like I was crazy or stupid for playing Washington bass at night once since he's been sober.
There you go.
Yeah, but that's not a sign of sobriety. I think that
that just means you're not fucking up.
Yeah, that's honestly that's the most worrying thing I've heard about this is that we should be looking at you a little suspect, Jeff. Exactly, that's the look.
Jesse has this death stare. He gave it to me 2 nights ago, and like I just like.
Did you mess up?
I messed up one note. Oh. You know how many notes I have to play?
Yeah, but one note.
Oh my god.
If you did maybe 5 notes, maybe it wouldn't have been as noticeable.
Yeah, maybe if I just like jazzed it up.
But you
missed
up. Yeah, you gotta run.
I just need to be a jazzy fuck up.
Go into a minor.
And be like, yeah. Okay, that's the second time I've done trumpet with my mouth. I need
to get this away from me. Because in Bedbugs and Beyond, instead of going to the metal party, goes punk beat all of a sudden. Like
first time I've ever heard Donnie Morris fuck up.
That's the.
But it wasn't a death stare. It's just like, if I look at you, you're probably playing something wrong. And then he immediately went back to the right beat.
Exactly. That's. I'm not giving y'all a death stare. It's just, I realize something's off, but my face just looks mad.
When you mess up, you look at me and I'm like, it's okay. You're good. You can do this.
To yourself or to me?
No, to you. Yeah, to myself.
That's her stares. Sure.
It's okay. No one noticed.
I don't know what you all are talking about. You focus on the negative because honestly, there's been so few errors that it's been so spectacular. And you guys could go from playing on a huge stage in front of 1,000 people to playing in the middle of a fucking like the chaos like no one else. And I think it's been great. And I'm really proud of y'all, you know, fighting through these hardships and making it happen and caring so much about your fans every fucking night. I said this last night in Kentucky, and I'll say it in the podcast. I don't know anybody who fights through harder to make it through such terrible hardships that you guys have fought through and to be there every time. Like, that's the first show I've ever seen. I said this, Megan. That's the first show I've ever seen where you didn't make it. And despite all these.
That we haven't made.
And there's been the hardest hardships.
We can count, like, on one hand how many shows we've missed. Yeah, right?
I think
Because it's either, definitely.
At least some of us.
At least
there.
Some of us are there every time.
But
I think
as
that
a full
was, like,
band, I think that's probably one of the only like, shows we've ever actually missed.
Boom, 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 boom.
We try to plan it out so one of us is sick at a time, you know?
I think if we were any other punk bands or supposed bands that tour, this tour would have been over about 4 or 5 times.
4 or 5 days in.
Canceled from now on, but we just kind of all work and, like, everybody's like kind of shifts the weight to other people and like enough.
That's why we're
people are there to
that's
like
a family.
Each other enough to make it happen and make it happen. For
we don't have to like
everything.
Each other.
You know,
this has been, you know, there's been days too. There's just been so many hardships. You know, Megan was in the hospital a bunch of times, and I know it was really rough to do it. And Veronica has been sick, and I know it was really hard to get there. And this tour too, and like,
I think we had just 4 hospital visits this tour.
And in past tours, it's been multiple. That beats the average 2, I think. Yeah, for days and days.
Even for us, that's high.
I think if you include the whole tour package of hospital visits, or should have gone to the hospital visits, it's like probably close to 10.
Jesus, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
Probably about 10.
It's been rough.
Cool, but hey, everything's going good. We're gonna be playing fucking New Orleans tomorrow. It's gonna be gold. Tour's gonna be over. There's gonna be a bunch of y'all gonna be headed back to Houston to do a bunch of shows that mm-hmm. you're having.
Dallas and
you're playing some fests in New Orleans. Whitney doesn't give a fuck anymore. That's fine. She's done these interviews 6 times.
She said you didn't fall asleep this time.
Yeah,
but you did just hit me in the face, which I feel like is a little aggressive.
No, yeah. Last time when me and Sturgeon did a podcast together, I fell asleep.
Talked
shit on Texas, and I woke up. I was like, "Fuck you, Texas is awesome!" And then I fell back asleep.
Immediately fell back asleep. Go back and find that last end of tour episode. It was fucking hilarious. Makes almost no
that's
sense.
Exactly the first thing I'm gonna do when this is over.
The best one though was the escape from the zoo in the basement with We the Heathens. That was the craziest. Honestly, or...
Oh, God.
No, my pizza, my world. School bus, 17 kids, 10 dogs. Ugh. In the middle of the night under a bridge.
Did it just sound
literally
like...
under a bridge.
Could you hear anything?
No, it was... Honestly, there were dogs crawling on me the entire episode. It was a nightmare.
It was awesome. Everyone was like, and everyone was like, yeah. Everyone, like, supported each other and was, like, really drunk and awesome.
I don't even
one of the worst days of my life, actually. All right. We're gonna take a break. We're going to listen to a tune, then we're going to do a little bit about some history of Days and Days. Get down. Let's take a little break for a second. I want to listen to a tune. Here is a tune that Days and Days did on their last record, Crustfall. This is a tune that they kindly asked me to do some vocals on, and I got to perform with them on this tour as well. I love singing with them, and it's just right up my alley. I feel like it speaks for itself. It's called Save a Life, Kill a Cop by Days and Days, featuring the Joey Steely. Check it out. Get down.
Life and kill a cop, back inside my body's drunk. Red and blue lights flood the streets, highlights another tragedy. You reach for your ID too quick, you're just another sense of take another innocent to pull a blood, I guarantee that thing will walk. Better mind your peace and cues, the journal will cover you. The power trip and terror as the feed off your obedience. Burn your ears and know your rights. Tribulation, join the fight. Spread the world of all police. Go out and kill a cop.
They don't serve and protect you. They kill and neglect you. Cause they're the boot, you're the bug. They don't serve and protect you. They kill and neglect you. So go save a life, kill a cop. Cops, you're all the same, read lies and let's not break. Not an age, it's the best of murder. And a club that drives these police, you mind what we say. We live for justice, so see what that it is. They don't serve and protect you, they kill and neglect you. They're dead and the boot, you're the boss. They don't serve and protect you, they kill and neglect you. So go save a life, kill a god.
I want to talk for a second about the history, because, you know, I feel like we answered some of the questions people have had about what happened on this tour, because I'm sure there's a lot of people who saw some of the things that were going on and were concerned, and some of the people who just want to shit talk. And so I feel like, you know, on that first half we could do that, but on the second half I just want to talk about, like, the beginning. Like, how did Days and Days begin? Where was the beginning?
When I was 16, my parents got me a guitar, and Wit went to San Marcos to go to college, so I dropped out of high school and went with her.
I bought you a drum set first.
Oh, yeah, I played drums first. I still have that same drum set.
I know. Thank you.
That
makes it all worth it.
Shit holds the fuck up. So we were bored because San Marcos is kind of like a college town, so if you don't like keg parties and...
Which I just like that.
Yeah, it did not work. It's harder than you think.
Yeah.
This are
we were
heavy.
Like rolling it, and they were like, "Hey, what are you doing?" We're like,
"Not
run.
Stealing your keg. These are this is not the keg you're looking for." Yeah, fucking shit does not work in real life.
It was just but, me, you and one other person. We were like,
"Ugh." Yeah, it was Polly.
Drag it.
I met a kid that just saw Polly a while back. I'll talk to you
yeah,
about
we'll
that
talk
later.
About that
but
no, talk about it now.
Yeah.
But, so we were bored, so we just spent a lot of time at the house. We started writing goofy fucking songs, and we were like, "Well, we should play these songs for people, because what else do you do once you write them? Just playing for yourself?"
Showed up to our first show was
boring.
Our parents.
Yeah.
And then these, like, three teenage girls who just so happened to be getting coffee.
They didn't really show up for our show as much as we interrupted their coffee night.
Yeah, definitely.
But they stayed.
They did stay.
And so we're like,
First Days and Days fans, actually.
Maybe.
The First Days and Days fans. What happened to them? Is that Lulu? Was one of their names Lulu?
No. Their names? Well, I mean, I don't know. We didn't get their names, yeah, possibly. So we're like, well, we should have a name. I swear Days and Days is just literally the first thing we thought of. There's no story
there
behind it at all or
like,
anything.
Even
there's no
discussion
meaning
about it. I was like, what do you think our band name should be? I remember we were sitting
on the porch
in this, we're like smoking a cigarette, like on these stairs. And I'm like, what should our band name be? Jesse was like, I don't know, Days and Days. I was like, okay.
That's
the entire thing. That's it. People were like, that's a song or something, and we're like,
I think it is a song.
It's a No Effects song, I believe, right? Isn't it?
Is it?
No one knows. That no one listens to No Effects here.
Maybe.
Yeah,
we don't know.
We're just super huge No Effects fans, and that's
that's why.
That's like how all those like those pop punk bands will name their bands after other pop punk bands' lyrics. That's what we did, but with No Effects, we'll go with that.
I'll turn up a Witch Hunt song.
Yeah, let's.
But
just
we don't even know if it's a song yet.
Days and Days lore.
Is it a song for sure?
Yeah. I think it's...
I'm 90% sure it actually
it's
is.
It's lyrics in a No Effects song, I want to say.
Okay.
We'll look it up later.
We'll look it up later.
So let's fact check that as a yes. Good fact. Thoroughly fact checked. All right.
The history behind the fishbone.
The history behind the fishbone? Should we tell anyone?
I don't know.
I don't think we should.
I feel like...
Oh, do it. What the fuck?
I feel like it's time.
I think the thing's off.
No. There's a mystery. No, it's a mystery. If you... go back and see our first like tagline for our band before Big Dreams, Strong Drinks, and
Loud Screams.
Before that, our tagline was Good Trash. I mean, we really set our bar pretty low to begin with. Our first album was called We Never Said It Was Good. We were like, Good Trash. Here goes nothing. Yeah. Okay.
We're not optimistic about people liking the music.
Yeah,
at
we're
all.
Like shit machine, like fuck it.
Is it okay? Is it a NoFX?
There's a days. Yeah, that's close enough.
Yeah.
Honestly, NoFX couldn't get it right, so they fucked up. Actually, yeah. All right. So wait, what's the history of the fishbone? We're not going to tell us that.
We can say it. That's just no. You want to leave it for people to ponder.
I will
ponder.
Tell it because.
No. Let's let it simmer
let's
a little
let it
longer.
Simmer.
Yeah.
Okay, on our 20th anniversary,
yeah,
we're going to meet
in
up.
In 10 more years.
In 9 more years,
nine
we're
going to
meet up with Joey Steele. Joey Steele.
In this La Quinta, room 903, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Come to me in prison. I'll be in here in Little Rock.
Okay. And we will announce the disappointment of Good Trash.
If you do it on another podcast, then I'm going to fucking kill everybody. Just so we're clear about that. All right, so I know when y'all started, it was just duo.
Mm-hmm.
So then how did you get these nerds involved in this? I know there's been a lot of lineup changes. I know your sister is involved for a long time.
We had
it was a Dirty Kid adoption agency that hooked us up. And
after my sister left to go do her solo stuff.
Shout out to Marissa.
Yeah, Marissa. She fucking kills it, by the way. Look her music up.
Megatron.
Me and Megan had been traveling for a little while, and she was playing washboard when we, like, busked and shit. So I was like, yo, you want to be in this band? And she was like, sure. That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
Am I forgetting, like, a big chunk of anything?
No.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah. That's all?
Pretty much.
So then, wait, you have anything to add to it?
It was good timing because I, like, stopped traveling. Because I got the whole like 3-day coma thing happened to me,
yeah.
And I died. Yeah, it was tight. and so I like was chilling out for a little bit, and then he hit me up like, maybe half a month after that, and I was like, hell yeah.
Yep. So you died at the right time.
Yeah, it was good timing.
Yeah, that doesn't come up enough. Megan died for 10 minutes once. She was in a coma for like 3 days.
Steve Harvey wanted me to be on his TV show.
Why?
Because the way that the whole thing happened to me, it's kind of a little long of a story. But if you want me to
the
tell
Cliff Notes.
Okay. So the whole way that it happened was crazy, and that's why Steve Harvey wanted me and the dude that saved my life to be on the show, because he wanted to like exploit our like, he wanted to get some like tears out of people and shit, you know. So what is it?
There's a blood clot.
What the fuck is Jeff like?
Yeah. Yeah. I had a fucking blood clot in my leg that went up to my lung. Okay, so I had pancreatitis for a couple weeks. They wouldn't help me at the hospital in Reno, Nevada. And then I was like, I didn't have like, I was like malnutrition and dehydrated, and I decided it'd be a good idea to go swim in the Truckee River in the middle of Reno. I was dead sober. And like the last thing I remember is standing up in like thigh high water, and then I just passed out. So I was already up before I hit the water. And the really heavy current took me. I'm sure I hit a couple rocks and shit.
So rough.
Oh, yeah, definitely got brain damage.
Yeah, 100%. You're underwater that long, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So some guy saved you from
it? Okay, so this dude had a court-ordered NA meeting that he left early, and his ride decided not to pick him up, so he had to walk home, and his route home was the street level. And he saw my body floating in the river and jumped from the street level to the river and pulled me out.
Wow.
And he got, like, an award from the cops and shit because he was, like, a meth head, like, a notorious, like...
Oh, man, you go to
the
first of NA meetings?
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm pretty
sure. Is that how you get out of NA meetings? You have to save Megan from the Truckee River.
Times,
sir.
Wow,
that's crazy.
Yeah, that was wild.
Holy shit, that's
so
insane.
So, while Megan was... healing up, I guess I hit her up, and during her convalescence, she joined Days and Days, and then we were playing a
so
show.
So let me just be clear about that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Jesse. So at when like Megan is on her deathbed, you're like, you know what? You're the perfect.
I know you hit a couple rocks in that river. Do your hands work still?
Hey, we're starting this band. It's called Days and Days. We think you would fit right in. What could go wrong? Yeah, okay. All right, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. So I can't wait to hear the Jeff Bell story.
My timeline still isn't straight. Were you in after. Before? So you're in first.
Can I do that? Okay. So I was three
Jeff gets
days.
To tell a story, and we all got up and left. So
sounds like my life. So 3 days after I turned 21, generate. This is, 7 years ago. I was working at Freebirds for about a week, Freebirds World Burrito, and I just quit Carl's Jr. So my life wasn't going too well either, let's just say. I had seen Days and Days about 4 times, and I decided, let's go to the show. I'm 21 now. Let's get fucked up. Anyways, I see them. Their bass player... Their bass player just had a child and only went on one tour. So they were like, hey, it's open cup book at night. Do you want to jump on up? We've seen you sing songs. Winnie had me come up. After and during the set, she was like, you're going on tour with us this February.
I told him, I was like, you should quit your job and go on tour with us. I didn't tell anyone.
I was like, okay.
I didn't tell Jesse. I didn't tell
Jesse's fucking face. Oh my God. Wait, I could have got out of this. I could have had no Jeff Bell.
I showed up to his house a day before tour on like February 16th, and he was like, I was helping him burn CDs for like an hour on his parents' couch, and he was like, so who are you again? What's up? And I was like, dude, I play bass in your band now. He was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I just like went up to Jeff and I was just like, you should quit your job and join our band. And he was like, okay. And then it was like, fine. Yeah. 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 And then the rest is history.
And then Megan joined like maybe half a year later.
Megan died a half year
and
later.
And her
yeah.
first show was Baton Rouge. Because I remember seeing her in Baton Rouge here. And being like, she looks like a swamp creature. I'm ready.
Wow. He literally was a swamp creature. A river creature, actually.
A river creature, sorry.
So this band as this four-piece unit was about 6 years ago. Is
it? Seven.
Six, 7 years ago.
Yeah, but we started 11 years ago. Yeah.
But 7-11.
11. So the whole band.
7-11.
Yeah,
7-11.
7 years inside job. Sign up, 11 is the whole thing.
Part-time job.
No, if that's not a fucking Days and Days song about the history of Days and Days called 7-11 was an inside job, I feel like we're all fucking cheated.
That'll be our 20-year anniversary CD.
That's our new record. Our new album's name is.
Wait, no, Megan's got a better one. Megan got a better one.
No, no.
7-Eleven's a part-time job.
There you go.
George, who said that? George Bush did.
Megan, no. Megan, right here from no, Days and Days. No. What did she? You kind of kill her once, and then
originally George W. Bush. I'm pretty sure. Can
he had
we
a
Google
slip
that?
Of the tongue.
Can we fact check that? Can we please?
Someone text fucking Fat Mike and let's find this shit out. Because honestly, he's the only one telling us information that's truthful. So it's been a rocky road at times.
Yeah.
You've killed Megan once. Actually, that's it, right? Once.
Yeah, she only died once.
Yeah, that's not. No, oh, yeah. potato, you know, hard to say. But things are going good now. Fucking, what's on the horizon? Like, what's happening? Can we talk about things happening?
I don't,
Whitney Flynn.
Exactly what we have.
I don't mean to interrupt your conversation, Whitney
I'm
Flynn.
Just trying to
are you still on the 7-Eleven?
Yes.
Oh, yo.
I don't let things go.
Yeah, we know.
I know. That's why this stand is yes.
Can we talk about like what's going on, like what the plan is for the future? Like, what do y'all having going on?
We're going to 7-Eleven later.
Days and Days will be outside the 7-Eleven in Little Rock all night.
That's our favorite restaurant.
We seriously have eaten at 7-Eleven so many times this year.
Yeah,
but we have a new full length that's done. I'm not sure when it's coming out.
We still got a lot of like little details to work out through it, but we're.
Everything's recorded.
So, we got the hard part done, and it's fucking awesome. I'm really stoked on it. I'm
like
it a lot. Yeah. We're both, like, good. Really proud of it.
Like, this album sucks, but it's coming out. It's done.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really proud of it. We worked tirelessly
it's
on
actually,
it.
Actually, I was sober the whole time we were recording.
I was sober on all my parts.
So it's the first record.
That's Days and Days. We were both sober. Drunk, like, separately. Jesse recorded first and he was sober while I was like fucking wasted.
You recorded and then I just got smashed for a week.
So we took turns. We tagged in and out like
it sober. Sounds a lot better. I think it sounds really tight. We'll see.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that
and then we have we have all next year booked up. We're going all over.
Wherever we can make it.
Where's San Diego? Where in the world is can I just say my joke? Where in the world is Days and Days? You can look on our website, daysanddays.net. Look, that was it.
I'm sorry.
That was my plug.
I'm sorry. The only job I have is to not interrupt the Whitney fucking Flynn. And I fucking did it. I'm such a piece of shit. All right. This is my last podcast ever. Thank you all for tuning in.
Thanks for having us, man.
We love you. I'm sorry, Sturgeon. Go ahead. I haven't been insulted by Sturgeon this podcast yet, so let me hear it.
Don't you have to play soon, Joey?
Yeah, no, I have a fucking set to play, so. All right. Yo, thank you. I'm fucking proud of y'all. I'm super proud of y'all. Fucking not drinking so much. Jeff Bell's in the room.
Thank you, Joey, for making this tour happen. Without you, none of this would have been possible. Thank you for having us on this podcast. We genuinely fucking appreciate the fuck out of you.
Yeah, words
don't
right
ever
out of my
change.
Mouth.
I'll cut all that out. Don't worry. No one wants to hear that kindness. I love you guys very much. Well, fucking, let's go do some shit.
Fuck yeah, let's do it.
Get down.
And break.
Jeff Bell, fuck you. Here's another song featuring a member of Days and Days, Jesse Sendejas. He has another band called Chad Hates George. That band is, I believe, on tour right now, featuring his wonderful sister, I think, is still in this band, Marissa. Anyway, this is Chad Hates George. Featuring the Sendejases. Get down.
For a whole bouncing baby boy, a bundle of tea destroy a parasite and swaddled in a crib. And now we have a baby girl, the two of them make our old world so horrifying, world in which we live.
Yeah!
boss will die when there's only murder, war, and sickness on the news. How will these children cope without knotting a hanging rope? Batten down the hatches, cause we've lost all of our hope.
Time after time, before they wind it down the road and uncover all of our fairy tale lies, love our lies.
Time after time, before they wind it down the road and uncover
all of our fairy tale lies, love our lies.
All right, that's the end of the episode. Thank you all for getting down with us. Thank you to Days and Days for taking time out of their busy schedule and recording this podcast with me. I love these folks very dearly. They've been very kind to me in the past. I really appreciate them taking time out of an extremely busy tour schedule to sit down with me and do another podcast, which they can't possibly have wanted to do. So thank you all. I really love you all. Thank you very much. Jeff, Megan, Jesse, Whitney, your angels, thank you very much for everything you've done for me. I love y'all. Hopefully, we get to tour together again in the very near future. I do want to add one point that did not get brought across super clearly on this episode, and I feel like needs to be said, because while I do care deeply about Whitney Flynn, I love her very much, I want to say to people who love Days and Days, or people who are just finding out about Days and Days, or people who are at these shows would not have happened without Whitney Flynn holding it down. She has worked so hard and come so far in maintaining her health and her clarity and her outlook and everything. And I'm just so fucking proud of her. And this show, this tour would not have happened if Whitney didn't hold it down so hard. She was put in, honestly, just the toughest possible situations night after night and got up on stage despite, you know, horrible conditions and horrible situations, and stayed clear-headed and stayed away from all the chaos and the ugliness and just fucking crushed it night after night after night. And it was very difficult, you know, and having Jeff and Megan there supporting her and with her and through all the toughness, and knowing that Jesse was not going to give up, and whatever his health issues were, he was not going to give up, and he was going to make it to the next show that he could possibly make it in. I know all of those helped her, but she just fucking killed it, and I'm so proud of her. And, you know, despite the fucking terrifying circumstances, she fucking crushed it. I'm so proud of her. And, you know, we didn't cover that a lot on the episode because we were talking a lot about Jesse's issues that he's been dealing with, but the past months and months, Whitney has just been fucking taking care of business really hard for herself and for the band. And you know, we didn't cover it a ton on the show. Whitney touched on a little bit despite her leg problems and despite other issues. But, you know, just super proud of Whitney making it happen for all of us. So I think for people who are just getting to know Days and Days or were at any of these shows, I just think understanding how far Whitney has come and how much effort and time and energy she put in, not only to making these shows happen, but making Days and Days prosper through these tough days, has been impressive. I mean, everybody in this band is working super hard, but I just think on this tour, Whitney fucking killed it. So well done, Whitney. Well done to the rest of the band. I think everyone is doing a great job. So proud. I'm super proud of everybody fucking holding it down. A couple of thank yous that I want to mention really quickly. I want to thank Veronica, who was on this entire tour as well. Veronica is Jesse's lovely, lovely wife. She's also a member of Escape from the Zoo, an incredible musician. She played a bunch of the nights with Days and Days and just kills it on the mandolin every night. She's a wonderful person. She also had some health problems on this tour that were very challenging for Jesse and Days and Days to deal with, and just never skipped a beat and never had a down face, and just plugged away, made it all happen and held everything together. So thank you very much, Veronica. I also want to mention Silas and Tina and Izzy and Mike and our good friend Aaron. All these folks were on tour. All these folks picked up so much weight and pushed so hard to make this tour happen. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of people that I am just not mentioning, but Silas, Tina, Izzy did a huge, huge, incredible job helping maintain, you know, so many of the problems that we were dealing with on tour, and became such good friends and are such good people, and I love them very much. And Aaron, who is a dear, dear friend, who's actually been on the show before a long time ago, and Aaron came with Cop Out and was doing merch for Leftover Crack, and Aaron just did a ton of the work that Cop Out was supposed to do and just couldn't and just failed at doing because we were dealing with a million other things. So huge thank you to Aaron Hughes, who was just a breath of fresh air on every front. And I probably honestly would probably have seriously thought about killing myself if Aaron wasn't on this tour, at least in a couple of the nights, including and definitely in Little Rock where the show was recorded. So thank you to everybody I mentioned and to a million of the other people I forgot to mention. So it was a trying tour. So I'm trying to remember everybody to thank because it was a big, big one for us. So thank y'all. I want to say thank you to Sturgeon and Leftover Crack and everybody for putting this tour together, for having us on the road. It was a little bit tumultuous, but, you know, that's really the way we all roll. So thank you very much for Leftover Crack for having us and putting this together and another incredible Cracktoberfest. On top of the incredible music that y'all make, I really enjoy it, and y'all wonderful people. I want to say thanks to Cop Out, my band Cop Out, who put up with my antics, let's say antics, all tour, which I can sometimes be difficult. So I appreciate them fucking pulling through and making this shit happen, even though it was some very difficult days on this tour. So thank y'all. Appreciate it. Thanks to everybody who listens to this podcast, who came up to me on the road. I feel like there was more people this time than ever, and it was fucking great. I was sort of running around like a chicken with my head cut off, doing a million different things, so I did not get to spend as much time with people as I would have liked to. It's really my favorite part about tours, like getting to fucking hang out with new folks that I meet and talk, and I just didn't get to do it because I was just doing a million different things on this time. So I apologize if I came off as rude or short. I mean, I am short, but I mean, like, short-tempered. But I really do enjoy talking to y'all. So please message me at Dispatch With Me Underground on Facebook, or you can hit me up on Instagram at Joey Steel, NYC, at STEEL, like the metal steel. Message me if you like this show, or if you dig what we do, or if you enjoyed the show that we brought you on tour, or if you thought I was a dick, because I want to apologize and make it up to you too. So I apologize here, and hopefully I can do it in person. Anyway, thank you to everyone. I had a lot of fun on this tour. It was a fucking blast. My favorite part is always meeting the folks and having so many people come up to me and say they dig Dispatches was very heartwarming, so I really appreciated it. And to the rest of you who are just listening for the first time, thank you for tuning in and making this show worthwhile. I want to mention that we are on Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com. You can go check out some incredible programming over at Real Punk Radio. We are on every Wednesday night, late night, and you can check out Tommy Unit's show. It's a fantastic show. realpunkradio.com is doing some incredible stuff, so check out what they have going on. And yeah, thank you to everybody who fucking digs what we do. There's a bunch of other podcasts that I've recorded with Days and Days over the last fucking like 4 years. You can go through our archive section and check them out. You can see some of the crazy antics like Jesse was talking about earlier in the episode. Like, some of the podcasts have been a little crazy and some of them have been pretty straightforward. The My Pizza My World episode that Whitney was talking about, we recorded it on a fucking bus filled with dogs and punks. It was a pretty crazy episode, so I strongly encourage you going back to listen to that one. But also, we did one with Escape from the Zoo. I don't know if Jess remembers this. Escape from the Zoo and We the Heathens in my basement at one point. And that was probably the drunkest podcast ever recorded, at least in Dispatch's history, possibly in the entire history. I don't know. It was a fucking mess. So go back and listen to those other podcasts. They're all free all the time. Dispatches, I know we've been a little bit behind schedule on posting new episodes. I'm trying to post them more regularly. I appreciate everyone who continues to listen to Dispatches despite the inconsistency in posting. We will continue to have this show. It will continue to be free. If people are available to donate, You can go to dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. There's a donate section. Those donations are a huge fucking help to me. They help make this podcast possible. We're not rolling in dough over here. There is no way for this podcast to make any money, and everything that we make goes to advertising, the little bit that we do have. So please, please think about making a donation. It is a huge fucking help for this podcast. But again, we're not going to stop doing the show. So whether you can or can't donate, I get it. If you can, great. If you can't, I understand. Again, go to dispatchingtheunderground.com. You can hit the donate section. There's also a merch section that we have on that website, dispatchingtheunderground.com. You can order some merch from there. A little bit of the merch money goes back to dispatches. The vast majority goes to the bands, but a little bit of it goes to the organization here. So really appreciate anybody who can do that. Plus, you get to buy some whatever you want. So it's like a win-win for everybody. Anyway, if you don't have any money, you can keep listening to Dispatch from the Underground because it will always be for free. Just stay in touch, subscribe, listen to it on whatever fucking podcast device you listen to it on. People have been really helpful in the past. If there is a podcast device that you listen on and Dispatches is not on there, please let me know. I will do everything in my power to get us on there. And that's frankly the main way Dispatches has gotten onto new forms is by people just messaging me. So thank you to all those folks who have stayed in touch and have reached out to us and told me they like the podcast and told me that they think we're great and told me that we think we suck. Whatever. Appreciate everybody hollering. I know life is busy. I know life sucks. I know life drags us down. But hopefully we can just be there for each other. And hopefully, eventually, we can burn all this shit down and start a better world that's more in the image of the underground. That's what we're trying to do. So thank you all for getting down with us. Thank you to Days and Days. And we'll see y'all in hell, hopefully very soon. Till then, get down. Cracktoberfest this year featured Leftover Crack, obviously. Days and Days, obviously. But also, my band Cop Out was on the tour as well. We had a blast. I feel like we won some folks over into our particular motion of party, political party punk, I guess is what we do. I don't know what the fuck we do. But we just released a new record. It is out on pre-sales on our Bandcamp page, copout.bandcamp.com. You can go over there and get a hold of it. And one of the tunes on that is this great song called Abandon. And I feel like this tour was a little bit like the Abandon tour because we really were going from town to town telling people to fucking leave their dumbass families and get down with our fucking roving circus of mayhem called Cracktoberfest. And I think we did a pretty good job of getting people wound up with that and getting people down with the political consciousness that we're bringing to folks. So, yeah, that's what the song is. It's called Abandon by Cop Out. Get down. Here's a band we played with in Baltimore. I had a fucking blast of this show. It was really perfect from top to bottom. You know, there's so many problems that happen in so many different shows, and which fucking Baltimore was just a goddamn blast. I enjoyed it very thoroughly. And this band that opened up added to that enjoyment that was a wonderful show. This is a band called Murder from Baltimore. I think they're from Baltimore. They were fucking super heavy, super cool, really rad folks, and I enjoyed meeting them. Wish I could have spent more time talking to them, but it was rad to get to see them and at least play with them for a show. So here's Murder from Baltimore. Get down.